This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
So a little bit about yourself. Dr. Nasser Al-Jafari, Medical Director of Functional Medicine at DNA Health. We're going to be talking about functional medicine. You are, as you mentioned, a medical doctor. You are a family medicine medical doctor. That sort of was your first training, wasn't it, really? Your calling, yeah. I mean, it's a great way to put it, actually. But as I understand, you were sort of slightly disillusioned by the whole traditional medical field, and health and wellness has sort of been your passion at your forefront from a certain time when then you went into functional medicine. Perhaps just tell me about that and why the shift? Why the shift? Not necessarily away, but using functional medicine probably as more of a complementary style of medicine.
So interestingly, it happened very early on in my career. When I first started off as a GP or back in the UK, they call us family medicine consultants here. I was realizing that the types of diseases that I was seeing, the obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, we were just getting patients coming back to us. We were putting them on more medication, and invariably they weren't getting any better. Mm. And so it kind of led me to delve a little bit deeper, did some more reading, and took a step back and realized that actually, if I think back to my medical school education, we were taught nothing about nutrition, exercise, stress management, sleep, the importance of sleep. Mm. And actually, if you take all these diseases today, which we're experiencing in epidemic proportions in this part of the world, we're just not equipped to deal with them. So that was kind of my route into functional medicine, which appreciates that these lifestyle diseases require lifestyle interventions to not just prevent them, but also to reverse the disease. And at the same time, this one factor or imbalance causing a problem with one system, the way the traditional health system approaches things, where you have a different specialist for each system, you go to a cardiologist for your heart disease, etc., is a very antiquated way of looking at health. In fact, health is all about balance between your different systems.
So it's a holistic approach.
Exactly. It's unifying those systems, appreciating that you have genetics at the center of those, which make us individual, and that those systems are dynamically changing according to the stress that your environment is putting on you. So it's just a different way of looking at health.
Yeah. When you do go to a doctor, you look at the symptoms, or they would probably look at the symptoms. You've got a pain in your stomach, let's take a look at your stomach, but not necessarily look at what's actually causing that pain in the gut or the stomach. It could be, obviously something that you're eating, so it's a nutritional side. It could be stress that you're under. It could be all these sorts of things. It's just treating symptoms, but what I'm getting from you is that functional medicine is treating the person.
Exactly. So a hospital specialist will be very good in their area, and as you say, will probably not consider other factors outside involving other systems. But also at the same time, it's about patching over the problem with medications rather than, you use the term, identifying the root cause, which often is lifestyle. And interestingly, we do a lot of gut health interventions, and quite often you find that actually...
It's the powerhouse, isn't it? The center of everything, really.
They call it the second brain. Mm. There's a lot of research going on with gut bugs. We call it the microbiome. And actually, fundamentally, we're finding that things like our stress management, our emotional well-being, sleep deprivation are key, not just to gut health, but the rest of our health.
But, there's a lot of pressure on the medical industry, especially on doctors. And once you're in that whole medical profession, to start talking about other things that, I've had recently had experience of that myself, and just being sent from one to the next to get more tests and more blood tests and this, that and the other. And you're like, is anyone actually talking to each other here? And nobody knows what the other person has done. And you sort of get into this whole spiral of wanting another test done and another test done. And you become, I think you sort of lose that human side of actually of the medical world. You're actually, as you said, you're just treating one part of you, but not actually treating the whole person. Do you think the whole system changed at all? Are we very far away from functional medicine, such as what you practice, like homeopathy or alternative medicine, complementary medicine, all these things being actually very much integrated within the whole traditional medicine practice?
I think we're very far away from seeing it infiltrate the mainstream medical practice. And there's various forces at play. So there's always going to be conflicts of interest with, the food and drinks industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the insurance industry. To take a cynical view, hospitals make money out of sick people. And that's why you would never see prevention get the pedestal that it requires. I think you're seeing a movement now happening on the outskirts. And I think in this day and age where people have access to the information online, et cetera, a lot of people are educating themselves and empowering themselves. And I find that a lot of people end up sat opposite me when they're frustrated with the standard medical system. They've read a little bit around the topic and they come and seek me out as a functional medicine specialist. Mm.
And it's often, I would imagine, that it's sort of at the end of the line as well. So you really get a lot of patients, I'm just imagining, that have gone through the whole system and done lots of different things. I hear from my sister's a homeopath and she says, you know, not a lot of people come to her. There'll be obviously people that will only go to homeopath, but there's a lot of people that go to her when they've tried everything. Mm-hmm. So she has to deal with
complex
many complex issues, you know, and you're sort of nodding in agreement there that you know, that could be the case with you too.
Two main categories of people. Yes, as you say, the complex cases who've been neglected by this mainstream system, but also a lot of people who aren't sick in a traditional sense, but certainly aren't health optimized. And what we're trying to achieve is optimizing people's health span. So not just their longevity, but the quality of health during that lifetime. Mm. And you know, these people will invariably go around the houses having multiple tests and investigations. They all come back normal. They don't feel normal because there's other things going on that unfortunately isn't picked up in normal practice.
The region's favourite doctors, live and listening. Doctor, doctor,
give me the news. On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Our doctor here in the studio, Dr. Nasser Al-Jafari, who's a medical director of functional medicine at DNA Health. Good afternoon to you, Dr. Nasser, once again. Yeah. We were talking off air, gosh, really fascinating and very much about stress. And you said really stress it can be linked to so many different issues that you are seeing a lot more of: anxiety, gut health, heart issues, these sorts of things. How much are you sort of now seeing that emotional issues and stress issues are having an impact on, like, health issues?
I'd say near enough every patient that I'm seeing walking through the door right now. It's, I think, widely acknowledged now that stress has been linked to all the major causes of illness and death. Traditionally, we know people know that it's not good for their health. Mm. But I think because people have felt that we've not been able to quantify it, it's largely ignored. And a lot of the focus is on nutrition and exercise because these are huge commercialized industries. But just to put it into context, we as human beings have developed through evolution a fight or flight mechanism, which was only really meant to be activated for a few seconds or minutes. We're in this mode 24/7. And this has far-reaching consequences. And as we were talking about, this can affect your mental health, your gut health, your hormonal balance, your immunity. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it's something that people haven't identified. But actually, on the flip side, it's the solutions are easy.
What would be some of the solutions then that you offer? I mean, would it be going? Say, someone did come to you hypothetically with a gut problem. Are you looking at their lifestyle straight away? And what would you say to them? What would be your response to them?
So I think regardless of what problem someone comes with, we look at health in four different facets. So you have your nutrition, your exercise and movement, your stress and stress management, and then sleep. Mm-hmm. And we would go into a sort of detailed history around all those sort of aspects of someone's health. I think...
Do you ever get this sort of thing that... I've come to talk to you about my stomach. Why are you asking me about my sleep?
Yeah, quite often. But, people, with the right sort of communication, people begin to understand and piece it together. Because actually, when you put it in context, it's actually very easy to understand how it could affect your health. But I think we're even finding in the functional field that people are unfortunately focusing on one or two areas. So as you said, gut health is quite common now. But actually, often the solutions to gut health problems lay outside of the gut. So it really is a complete overview of someone's health. And then we put them on a protocol, which is tailored towards the individual, of course. There's no one size fits all.
A couple of questions coming through, actually. One of them is about saying, I'm having problems losing weight. I'm working out and dieting, but can't seem to lose weight. Thanks. That comes from Anna.
So I see a lot of weight loss issues coming across my desk. And we've all been brainwashed into thinking that weight's all about calories. So the body's like a calorie balance. And if you want to lose weight, you either eat less or you exercise more. That's generally what most people believe. Actually, it's complete nonsense.
Ah.
Our weight is controlled by our metabolism and our hormones. And it's quite common to see people who on paper will have great nutrition and be exercising regularly and can't lose weight. And often we see people who actually their body fat is going up and they can't understand it. It's because things like, coming back to what we were saying, stress and sleep disruption will be interfering with their hormonal balance. And if we come back to the fight or flight hormone cortisol, that can interfere with your hormonal balance and make you store fat, essentially.
So how do you check all these things? I mean, is the first thing that you do, would you be to sort of do a whole raft of blood tests and, you know, what kind of treatments do you, not treatments, but what kind of tests do you offer then to prepare your treatment?
Yeah, exactly. So it comes back to that tailored approach. So you can't really approach weight loss without doing testing and investigations on people, because what may be causing one person's weight gain may not be the same as the next person. So we do a testing phase, which usually takes a few days, and then we kick off the program accordingly. And the cornerstone of the programs are lifestyle. And actually, we're starting to use a lot of fasting protocols.
Uh-huh.
And fasting is a kind of another thing that's people have been talking about recently with respect to intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you find that with a lot of these interventions that come back, they've tried the test. They've lasted the test of time. You know, they've been going on for generations. It's just
so you're a fan of that, then? I mean, as long as it's done properly.
If it's done properly, yes. I mean, there are there is potential to slip up, but if done correctly, then there can be again significant improvements in people's health, not just in weight loss, but actually a lot of the research with more extended forms of fasting has shown that the body, in simple terms, does a lot of its housekeeping and repair. Mm. So you get a boost in your stem cells, your immune system resets, your hormones reset, your metabolism improves. So it's a common protocol that we implement.
The doctor will see you now.
I'm joined by Dr. Nasser Al-Jafari, who's the Medical Director of Functional Medicine at DNA Health. We're going through a whole series of different points. What is functional medicine, how it can help you. We were just talking earlier about fasting and how fasting can certainly be one of those things that could possibly help or assist in your diet, could change the way that your body functions, etc. And I know that you, within the centre, Dr. Jafari, are quite big on that, and that's something that you offer as part of a solution, possibly, depending, of course, on what is the problem.
Yeah, correct.
It's been a lot of talk of that, actually, in the news, hasn't there, for quite some time, actually. It was the 2-5 diet, 3-5-2-6. Well, yeah. I can't remember what it is now.
Again, seems to have been commercialised
so
and given different names.
Yeah.
But again, the thing that I simply say to people is we've spent 99% of our evolution living in famine. And unfortunately, now we're just feasting all the time. We're overfed and we're undernutritioned. And fasting is about restoring that fasting-feasting balance. I mean, and if you look at, for example, breakfast means breaking a fast.
Mm.
Unfortunately, we're eating our breakfast very early on in the morning now before work. Invariably, we're in a rush, so it's highly processed. We're eating late at night. So, you know, we're not having that period of fasting.
Ideally, how much time should you leave between sort of meals during the day and then at night time to give your stomach and your body time to rest?
So the research has shown that you should eat your food within an 8 to 10 hour eating window, certainly below 12 hours. But if you have someone who is, I call them metabolically broken, so is already suffering with, for example, a lot of the lifestyle diseases, you sometimes need to use for more rigorous interventions, and we often engage in far longer fasting periods. I've had people do it up to 21 days.
What, no food?
No food for 21 days, yeah.
At all? Or
at
juices?
All. So no juices, just salt and supplements. No
Gosh.
Food. And again, people are shocked by that. But then again, why do we store fat? We store fat.
That's quite severe, though. I mean, that's quite extreme, isn't it, doing that?
It is, and it's not something that I advocate for everyone. But, you know, if I have someone who I feel is physically in the position to cope with it and also mentally is right and gets the correct levels of supervision, then it can actually be very powerful.
In what way? What does it do to your body?
So you're actually getting a lot of reset going on. So again, what the research has shown that actually the body does a lot of its repair during fasted state and actually can only achieve it during fasted state. So if we're eating all the time, we're never going to get a reset of our immune system you get an increased production of stem cells, your hormones rebalance, your metabolism improves. And you're just coming back to what we were saying, you store fat for when you require energy during periods of famine. So if you're storing an abundance of fat, then it's going to get to the point where your liver runs out of glucose stores in the form of glycogen. It only has one other thing to break into, and that's your fat reserves.
Mm. There's a really wonderful message come through, actually, which I'd like to, no name on it, actually, but saying, I'm listening to Dr. Nass and I have a question. I'm reading this now because just off air you were saying that this, you do see a lot of children as well with autism and ADHD. And this listener has said, I have a son and he's been diagnosed with autism. He's attending a special school. I've read in Health magazine that changing his diet will improve him.
Yeah, correct. So we do work a lot with children with developmental disorders, particularly autism and ADHD. And we've moved from this paradigm of just identifying autism as a genetic condition. Actually, what we've realized is that it's what we would classify as an epigenetic condition. So where the environment is interacting with certain genetics. So yes, children do have a predisposition to autism, but environment, particularly nutrition, does play a significant role. And what you find is that children with autism have a lot of brain inflammation. So we often use nutritional interventions to help improve that inflammation. But also at the same time, they tend to have a very narrow diet. So again, correcting those imbalances will help. And also some children have problems with gluten and dairy. So we often use gluten and dairy elimination to help improve symptoms.
That's oftentimes the first port of call, isn't it? Get rid of the gluten and get rid of the dairy. Why is that? It's so funny because everything's got it in, you know, and there's such a big push on dairy and, you know, it's good for you. And or you must get your dairy in because then you won't get, you know, you've got to have calcium.
Yeah.
And it's all these sort of things that have been built up that we should and shouldn't do, which actually, when you break it down, as I've learnt along my sort of in my life, is a lot of it is just absolute nonsense.
Yeah. And, you know, just coming back to the whole gluten and dairy thing, it's again, got a lot of publicity recently. And I think what it comes down to is most of the population will not have an issue with the gluten that they're consuming. But it's true to say that the amounts of gluten that we're consuming now is far higher than we historically have done. And this is potentially disruptive to people's gut health and immune systems, similarly with dairy products as well. So often you will see that they do form part of an elimination diet or an anti-inflammatory diet, but it's far from, we're not advocating that everyone should eliminate gluten and dairy.
Mm, only if, as you said, it's appropriate. It's appropriate, yeah. So just to sort of wrap up in response to the question that came in, that yes, there are things that you can do to help or to, let's say, you know, improve the
symptoms and signs of autism.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of success stories. I mean, we've managed to have children enroll in mainstream medical school with very little in the way of symptoms or signs that would identify them as an autistic child.
Georgia texts in saying, I'm a huge fan of functional medicine, especially Dr. Mark Hyman. Amazing philosophy of helping the body heal itself. Again, you are as well. He is based in the States, I believe.
Yep.
He has a functional centre there.
Yeah.
Is he someone that you kind of follow too?
He's the head of the Institute of Functional Medicine and runs the centre in Cleveland Clinic, Ohio. And yes, he has a very sensible approach to health. I think it's funny because we've regarded the body in too simplistic a form. It's actually far more complex than we give it credit for. But actually, the solutions are very simple and it comes down. The cornerstone is lifestyle.
Yeah, indeed. So back to some of those questions for you, Dr. Jafari. We had quite a few come through on diets. One asking about the keto diet. Let me just see if I can find it, actually. Saying that they're very sceptical about the keto diet. Does it really help? What's your advice about healthy weight loss and any comment on body contouring technologies?
So lots of questions in one.
Yeah.
So keto diet, that's, for those who don't know, is the high fat, generally low carbohydrate diet. And it's effectively changing the body's fuel source from glucose to fatty acids. And
can I just inject, well, why the keto? I just don't understand all these diets that come in, the keto, the paleo, the Atkins, the, Oh, there's just so, so many of them. And it's so confusing, I think, for people who are wanting to lose weight or get healthy and what to do, what suits me, what suits my body type. I mean, what do you know what I mean? What's the keto supposed to do better than any other of diet?
Well, I think we need to just take a step back and actually just make the point that there is no one size fits all when it comes to diet. Our ancestors have evolved different parts of the planet under different selection pressures. So actually, you may have two populations who are very healthy and have no evidence of chronic disease, yet they have two very different diets. So I think that's where a lot of the confusion comes from. Keto diet is an extreme form of diet, but actually the evidence has suggested that it is very powerful in reversing a lot of these metabolic diseases that we've spoken about before. The problem with it is it's quite difficult to follow. And I've also found that inherently a lot of people following the keto diet restrict fiber too much. And fiber is a whole other area. We're all aware that it's good for us. A lot of people don't know why. And it turns out that the carbohydrates in the form of fiber that we don't digest and absorb actually goes on to feed the gut bacteria in our bowels. And it turns out that the quality of our health and our longevity is proportional to the diversity of the bacteria in our gut, and the primary source of fuel is fiber. So that's my issue with keto. But, you know, I have clients on it. But I find that actually developing ketosis through fasting means is actually easier than dietary ketosis.
Right,
so actually you end up in the same state through fasting.
Mm-hmm. And they've asked also about body contouring technologies.
Yes. So, again, I'm not going to lie, but if you're 40 kilograms overweight, body contouring is not going to do a huge amount for you. But
What is it, anyway?
So there's different techniques. So you can use anything from infrared or radio frequency or cool sculpting. And they're forms of essentially breaking down subcutaneous fat. Mm. So it's something that we offer at DNA Health, and we use it for people who have achieved a decent amount of weight loss and then just looking for that extra few inches, or for people who actually aren't carrying a huge amount of weight but just can't get rid of that stubborn subcutaneous fat, and it works very well.
Sorry, I was smiling. I was just reading a message in there. It says, I sail a small sailing dinghy. That's balance in their life. I love it. It weighs 102 kilos and I maintain my weight at 102 kilos with exercise and pizza as required.
Awesome.
Sounds
bit
like
of humor.
Quite a good balance there, I think. Yeah. Agreed. Dinghy sailing and pizza eating. Yes, there's a number of others. We might be able to just get to one more really quickly. Let me see what we can find. Yeah, one was saying that, good afternoon, my husband is 40 kilos overweight. He eats healthy for the most part, but his portions are outrageous, and this is the problem. He's tried several diets and lifestyle changes, but nothing has worked. He's quite sedentary, so that does not help either. I have two questions. How would functional medicine deal with him, and does insurance cover for functional medicine? So very quickly.
So weight loss, as we were alluding to earlier, is very complex. And it's not just about approaching someone's nutrition in isolation. It involves looking at other aspects of the lifestyle. And we keep coming back to stress and exercise and movement. And we've not really spoken a huge amount about sleep.
Yeah.
These are all kind of fundamental. So if there's one of those aspects of your lifestyle that's out of balance, it's going to cause problems. But similarly, I also come across a lot of people who've yo-yo dieted over a long period of time. And what happens is if they've gone through long periods of calorie restriction, their metabolism has slowed down.
Mm.
So they will struggle to lose weight.
Yeah.
So it's about restoring that.
Okay.
We look at it scientifically.
So you can potentially help this person with a strict diet or various different treatments that you can offer.
100%.
Let's give out your website if our listeners would like to contact you directly and find out more about what you do and get in touch. How can they tell you that?
www.dnahealthcorp.com.
Thanks very much. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you today. Thank you to Dr. Nasser Al-Jafari, Medical Director of Functional Medicine at DNA Health. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.